we're getting ready to get started with our next message. And it's nice to have a little interlude as we get ready to go. I don't know how many of you all noticed, but we do have a couple things that we are going to be looking at today. One is immediately after service, I would like for all of us to meet together right back in the fellowship hall. We're just going to go over the calendar. Make sure we have that ready. That'll take 15, 20 minutes, I would expect, at the most. So we'll try to get it done quickly to make sure it's good, but I just want to pass on some information to you. We are going to try to meet together this coming Wednesday, also in church services. And that when we come together this coming Wednesday, it's my prayer that we would use it for prayer. We will try to open up the portal so that others can join us in prayer. Via a Zoom invite, and we'll see how that goes as well. One other thing is, and I don't know how many of you have done it yet or not, but I've added a sheet of paper in it that gives you a reading schedule with some questions in it. Now, I took last week's questions, and I gave you the answers on the bottom so you can see where they were found in the reading. Now, I will tell you, I will always do everything in my power to encourage you to read the Word of God. I'm not saying everybody will join me in that reading, but I would encourage you to join me if you can. It's for your own spiritual growth. It's for your own spiritual well-being. If you don't want to read along with my schedule, that's fine and dandy. It is amazing how many people have kind of followed along. And I will tell you, I'm one of those individuals that when I read, if I have the time, I love reading ahead. I just really enjoy it. And, you know, like I said, more than anything, when you take the Bible into hand and you learn it, it is really an amazing application, and I hope that everyone will follow along with me. So, again, the questions will be there each week for you to look at, and if you have any questions for me or you want to jump in later on and join in the questions, you can do so as well. But I'm hoping that as many are still homebound or whatever, that they will do so with me. All right, take your Bibles this morning, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, there is a song that we sing, and it's called Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Well, there is a phrase that is in there that says, here I raise my Ebenezer. And I remember the first time I saw that. And I thought, well, what is this? Here I raise my Ebenezer. And really, a lot of our hymns, we will sing something and not really understanding what it's there for and why the writer saw fit to add that at that particular time. I know this is that years ago, there was a lot of question about a particular song. And many of you all remember, it's called We Are the World. How many of you remember that song when it first came out? We are the world, we are the children. And quite literally, it was all the popular singers of the time had joined together, and they even used a twist in which they said, he who turned the stones to bread. Jesus never turned stones to bread. It shows you, first of all, the ignorance of people when it comes to the Word of God. And Jesus said he could turn stones. You know, he could do whatever he wanted. The stones could cry out. He could turn stones to bread if he wanted to, but he did not do so. Once again, it shows that Satan can take and move things in such a way that people will follow after it ignorantly. But that brought me into the attention, and I think one of the early song or early sermons that I preached was on singing. And I remember that I pointed out at that time that we should know what we're singing and we should listen to the words. Listen to the words of what we're singing. If we don't understand something, then maybe it would be better not to bring that up at all. It would be better to not know that song or sing that song unless we go back and research it first of all. Now, this term, here I raise my Ebenezer, is very important for us to know. And it is found here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I will use this as my New Year's sermon to the church. And I want us to think about what should we look for in this 2020. I know we're already 9 days into it. But what should we look for in the new year as we're serving the Lord? Let's begin in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the men of Kirjah Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjah Jearim that the time was long for it, was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange god of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together at Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on the way, and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered a for burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered great thunder on that day when the Philistines discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-char. And Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came more into the coast of Israel, and the land of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel, restored to Israel from Ekron unto Gath, unto the coast thereof, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was a place between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went this from year to year in circuit to Bethel and to Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And he returned to Ramah, and there was in his house, and he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity, and I pray, Lord, that you will just now be with us, that we may serve you, and that we may know your word as you give it to us this day. Guide us, dear Father, and help us to be faithful unto you. Lord, use this word. Open it to the understanding of all that are listening, and guide and bless now. In Christ we pray. Amen. All right? So as we begin this morning, I want to bring it to your attention about what this is all about. Now, as I said to you all, we oftentimes sing the song, I count or count thou, come thou fount of every blessing. We sing that normally during Thanksgiving. We sing it during oftentimes during the year. And it is a song that I really enjoy. But I wonder how many of us really understand when it says in verse 12, And Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, I wonder how many of us can say with a truth, the Lord has helped us? Now, I found this image, you know, this morning. It's what's on the bulletin. This is supposed to be a representation of that stone that is called Ebenezer in the wilderness. And even though it's just a stone, and even though it stands there as a memorial, that stone is there. Sit down right now, Will. Will, sit down. This is not a place of play. This is the house of God. And one of the things I want us to understand is that when we are looking at this message, when we understand the things that are given, it is one that we need to realize that this stone had a meaning. And so every time you see a stone standing, or there was a pillar that was given, it was a reminder to the children of Israel of all the good that God had done, and he had left there a perpetual memorial. This building is just a building. We call it Grace Missionary Baptist Church as far as the label goes, but this isn't the church. This is the assembly of the church. But for the community at large, when they see this building, they should be able to say, Grace Missionary Baptist Church assembles in that building. This is their place, and we need to hallow this place. So it is a memorial, and it should be one that says, here is where God meets with us, and here we can raise it up and say, I know the Lord has been with us. There is one word that I hope never comes across any church door, and that is the word Ichabod. And if you go back in the same book of Samuel, there was one that was born, and they named the child Ichabod because it said, the glory hath been removed. I pray it will never be said of us that God's glory has been removed from this church. Because if God's glory is removed, then we know that he is done with us. I do not believe in any fashion or form that God is done with Grace Missionary Baptist Church, or he would not allow us to continue to exist. Now, it doesn't mean that our struggles are over. It doesn't mean the challenges are over. But it does mean that we know that our God can and will be with us. So I want us to consider today of the great struggle that came all the way out from this, and we're going to look so by first of all exploring a couple new places. First of all, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Judges chapter 21. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Judges chapter 21, we're going to go to the very last verse, which is verse 25, and we're going to read here what it says in regards to the Word of God and the condition of the people. So Judges 1:25 tells us this, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, if that's not underlined in your Bible, it should be. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If you will, let's also go back now to Joshua chapter 24. And as we look at Joshua chapter 24, we want to go all the way down to verse 31. And this is in the concluding message of Joshua as he's getting ready to pass on from this life. The children of Israel have already inherited the land. And it said, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord which had been done in Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, and a parcel of ground which Jacob brought of the sons of Hamath, the father of Shechem, and 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertaineth to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Ephraim. Now, why did I bring up that particular verse? Notice that when Joshua had finished, all the people were in a unity. I don't know how many of you have ever done this before, or have ever seen it to where people are literally walking arm in arm. There's a unity. There's a determination. And as they're walking arm in arm, they're walking in a solidarity, saying that we are going to follow after these things because we hold these truths to be, you know, true. Reality, when you take a look at this, Joshua and those elders, including Caleb, had entered into the land, and they had gathered their inheritance. And so when you take a look at the inheritance, they lived and they said, God hath done this for us. Let's take a look at our own country. And we have seen pinnacles and valleys. We have seen high rises. We've seen low valleys. And the high moments is when people have really followed after God. And they wanted to evangelize this country. They wanted to preach the message. And every time that they preached the message, there was great revivals that broke out in the land. We could go back and talk about the revivals of the early 1750s. We could talk about the Cumberland revivals. We could go in all the different directions and see how that God blessed our country. There was a great growth in our country. There was a man who came from France, and he made this statement. He said, America is great because America is good. America will cease to be great when America ceases to be good. Is America good? If America is not good today, then we have ceased to be great. And reality is that that's what occurred. Now, from Joshua, all the way past the book of Joshua, we go into Judges, we go into Ruth, and at the beginning of Samuel, it is at the beginning of Samuel that the judges have ended. When Samuel no longer is judge and he appoints his two sons to be judge after him, they begin to judge the people with a wickedness in their hearts. They were the last of the judges. Throughout the book of Judges, there's 25 judges. And yet, if you go back in and study it, you'll see that the book of Judges opens up with a message of how that Caleb went up and he took the mountain that he said, God has given me. There's a recount. So you can see that the book of Judges is a continuation of what happened with the book of Joshua. So they overlapped. But then what happened was, as the old patriarchs, which was stated in Joshua 24, as those that had gone through battle had passed away, the message did not adhere to those that were coming up. And so you had sometimes great fire for the Lord that would occur, and people were ready and excited for the Lord, and then there were great valleys to where people were no longer following after the Lord. And by the way, it was the same Israel that had gathered the land, had been blessed by God, and had been over and again watched over and cared for. And during this entire time, which was about 200 years, throughout the book of Judges, people were either following the Lord or they weren't. You might as well mark it down. They were either following the Lord or they weren't. Now let's go all the way back to our section, which is Samuel chapter 7. And I want you to see this. In Samuel chapter 7, once again, I want you to hear what Samuel says to the people. In Samuel chapter 7, the people had come to Samuel and said, deliver us, pray for us. They realized that there was something about this man that was different. All the time, I get individuals that they reach out to me and they say, will you pray for us? By the way, Carla is getting tested this morning to see if the COVID has passed. She asked me if I'd pray for her. I said, I'm praying. I'm also mentioning it to you. I'll pray for Carla. Pray for Donnie and Gary. Donnie's going to have extensive surgery in the month of February. She needs our prayers. We ought to add Dottie more on our prayer sheet. We need to pray for Gary. He's gone through a lot of health issues, and he needs our prayers regularly. I can make mention that we need to pray, but if we don't pray, it doesn't mean anything. I have people all the time reach out to me, either via Facebook or by an email or whatever, say, will you please pray for me over this? I have two young men. One is my son. Another one is a prisoner that is in the Kentucky jail system. And he'll call me once a week. And when he does, I always conclude our time together with a word of prayer. Why is that important? Because I want them to know that our conversation is being monitored not only by law enforcement, but it's been monitored by God as well. Prayer. These people realized they did not have the strength to pray. And notice again that when they came to Samuel, they came to him and they said, "We are not able to do." Look at verse 5. And Samuel said, "Gather the children," or "gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." By the way, here's something that I want you to get. When somebody asks you to pray, how many times have we ever said, "Okay, I'll pray for you," and then we go through our day and we forget to pray for them? If we tell someone we're going to pray, or they ask us to pray, stop, drop, and pray right then. You say, "Well, it may not always be convenient." Then write it down and make sure that you do it later. But if that is convenient, we are to pray for them. I was at the VA office this past week. No brag, just fact. And I met a retired doctor. And as we were sitting there talking, I kept mentioning how blessed God has been to us, what goodness God has done. And come to find out that he belongs to a Southern Baptist church that's down in Florida somewhere. And again, he told me the location and everything. And as we started, as we were talking, he said, "Well, I got to get going." I said, "Before you do, can we pray?" And I had a word of prayer with that doctor at that moment. And his wife was standing right there with me. And I said, "I want to thank you all for that opportunity." I didn't care who else was around me. How many times have we ever prayed and we've been afraid what everybody else is going to say, or who's going to take an issue with it? With that issue, their issue is theirs, not ours. And he said, "I want to thank you for that." And I'm hoping that I blessed somebody else that was in that room that day as well. A little bit later, I met with one of the guards, and I was talking to him, and come to find out that he has just joined a church that is down in that area. No, it's not even a Baptist church. And I said, "Well, what are you doing?" And we began to discuss something, and I had to get ready to go, and I said, "I know you can't close your eyes, but I am going to be praying for you," and I have prayed. The reality is, these people did not feel equipped to pray. And they said to Samuel, "Pray for us," and he goes, "You gather yourselves, bring all..." Now, I don't know if that's all Israel or if that's all-inclusive. In other words, leadership from every one of the particular areas. But they did come and they gathered together. And notice, and they gathered together at Mizpah, verse 6, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on the way and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." But there was one other thing that they did. And a little bit further, the Lord, Samuel said to them, "Get rid of the idols in your life." Let me ask you, what is more important to you than being in around God's Word? I know this. I hear people all the time when I tell them, say, "You know what, we need to really read God's Word." And the first response is, why should that even be a request? Enjoying the Word of God ought to be a joy. Do you realize that there are little nuggets? I'll tell you one that I've been dealing with. I can't let it out of my mind. We are the only planet on this universe, in this universe of God's creation, that has water on the surface. What keeps it there? What kept the canopy in place? What made it a canopy? Now the canopy is gone. How come we got an atmosphere? Now, I'm not asking scientists to give me their explanation. It doesn't do any good. But do you not see the power of God? And Google it, man. Go ahead, Google it, and you're going to find out that there is no other planet that even has a guaranteed water source. And somewhere out in mystical space, which I know none of, they said, "We got one planet that has water." But we think it has water. It's not on the surface. Do you realize how unique God is in that he made our planet with water and water's not lifting up off the ground? When did God say to Job, "Who said to the water, you can only come this far? The treasures of the snow," I said to Kennedy as I was getting ready to lead today, I said, "Have you ever considered the treasures of the snow that as the snow melts, it comes down and it fills our streams and it fills the waterways. It supplies the nutriments. And it's amazing to me to see how that snow turns into the waters, which turns into the oceans later on down the pike. That is all the hand of God, not some mystical creature. And the first thing that Samuel said to these people was, stop imagining that these pagan gods that you're worshiping, these idols, have any power whatsoever. Get rid of the gods! So what did they do? And here it is. Now get this. This is after the time of Judges. This is the last judge with Samuel. And he said, get rid of the gods. And they got rid of Ashtaroth of Baalim. The first thing, if God is going to bring revival to a people, we've got to get rid of the gods in our lives. What is more important to you than coming to the house of the Lord? I remember there's a boy one time, and this is after the Lord had saved my mom and dad. We went to somebody's house, and this many, many years ago. I was just a boy. And dad said, boy, he went to one of the church members and said, boy, sure miss having you at church tonight. He goes, I know, but boy, I sure would miss my bonanza if I didn't go to church. That shows you how long ago that was. But can you imagine the hold of a TV set all the way back then? And now we have computers. Now we have cell phones. Now we have everything under the sun which is going to distract us from the things of God. Turn it off. Turn off the cell phones. Turn off the TV set. Oh, I love my sports. I love watching football. I love all the things that go around those things. I love competition. But if it takes me away from God, then is it not an idol? Samuel said, take that away. And here's the thing that's interesting. When they finally came to this place, they came to Mizpah. And by the way, the term in Hebrew for Mizpah is the watchtower. And here is supposed to be on this outpost, you would have the people watch for the enemy to come over the horizon. And so as you begin to watch this, here they were now saying, this is where we're going to gather, but this is where the enemy is going to come. Now get this, come on. Samuel knew that while they were at this place, the enemy was going to come over the mountain. And so here at Mizpah, they are all now saying, Samuel, sacrifice for us. Samuel, intercede for us. Samuel, pray for us. And he begins to pray. And the enemy shows up. Let me guarantee you something, folks. You start serving the Lord, and I guarantee you the enemy is going to start showing up. And the enemy is going to find everything in their power to do what they can to destroy your testimony, to make you feel bad. I guarantee you, if somebody wants to dig in my past, they're going to find an easy volumes of things I've done wrong. I can try to do good. I find it, you know, it's like this. Is that I'll tell you one of my weaknesses. I hate confrontation. I hate confrontation. Sometimes I have to be confrontational, and I know that. But the reality is, there's a way I have learned by God's grace to be confrontational without being offensive. It's called politics. We'll leave that alone. The reality is that when you take a look at it, these people are gathered together, and they have their weapons laid down, and they're worshiping the Lord, and the enemy comes on the horizon. This is not the only time Israel will face that. 1973, I was getting ready to go in the Air Force. And I remember as I was getting ready to go in the Air Force, Israel was being attacked. I think it was on Yom Kippur, don't hold me on the exact time frame. But while they were in worship and while they were literally at peace, the enemy from every quadrant started coming in on them. And the United Nations said nothing about the enemy that we're attacking. And only America was going to come into place. And I remember a friend of mine, his name was Larry Honeycutt. He was in basic training at the time. And Larry said, they literally changed our order saying that you guys are getting ready to go to Israel. He said, we were getting ready to go to war with Israel because of all the attacks that were coming around them. Israel didn't ask for our help. We did dispatch F-4s over that way. But immediately after that day, they got up and they started pushing the armies aside by the grace of God. And when Israel started winning, the United Nations said, oh, the armies of Jordan, the armies of Egypt, all we didn't see it coming. Let me tell you what, folks. The battle belongs to the Lord. And so while they were seeing the army of the Philistines coming at them, here's old Samuel. The altar is ready. And he sacrificed a lamb unto God. And what does God do? I'll accept that. You know what what we need as a people is true humility, a true humble nature. And when we become humble in the sight of the Lord, wait and see the battle that the Lord's going to take. That's the beauty of it. And the Lord sends a thunder. He sends all of this mighty power upon the Philistines, and they are discomfited by the Lord. Began with the Lord. And that brings up why this stone Ebenezer was brought up. Because notice again in verse 12, it does not say, here we won the victory. Notice it says, then Samuel took a stone. We don't know how big the stone was. Was it this stone? I don't know. One there. And he said, but he took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem. By the way, Shem is a stronghold of the Philistines. Mizpah is a watchtower. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. How many times have we ever said, Lord, will you answer this prayer? Answered. Have we raised up a stone? You know, maybe we ought to have an answer prayer box. Because every time that the stone is raised in its place, that answer is, God has already answered. Hitherto, God has blessed us. And so, when we sing that song, hither by thy help I come, it's even more than that. The Lord has already brought us. And I have the victory because of it. You got it? I can sing that song. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And so I understand that all the more because of the goodness that the Lord himself has brought over us. So we have this year this opportunity to raise the stone of righteousness that God alone can bring. And I don't know how many people are listening from afar. I don't know. People are listening in, but I will tell you this, if we trust in the Lord, nothing is impossible for God's church or for his people. Lord, thank you again for the message that you have laid upon my heart, and I pray that it might be a blessing to all that have been listening today. I now ask you, Lord, to be with us as we conclude in this service. Lead and bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a final song as we conclude. If you'd like to know more about Jesus or the Lord has touched you on your heart, please let me know and I'll be glad to pray with you about it. Brother, go ahead.